This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Outside of the standard college football out-of-body experience, which can happen in the collegiate game, to win that game, Michigan needs a fast start. They did not get a fast start against Texas. Texas went right down the field, 13-play drive, missed a field goal, and then went touchdown, touchdown, field goal, touchdown to wrap up the first half and led 24-3 at the half. It really kind of sucked the wind out of the building. But they also need the defensive line to be the best version of themselves. Have to play as clean as they can possibly play, and they probably need Oregon to help. Now, could the travel, two trips to the Midwest in 3 weeks matter? It can. Is that going to be enough? Don't know. I do see a path to victory for the Wolverines. Gator, I know you don't. Indiana and Michigan State, I expect Indiana to have an adrenaline dump with all the attention on game day being there last week. I think the Spartans can keep this one close. I mean, I guess they're also prone to an adrenaline dump as well, coming off the Michigan-Michigan State game. But I think the Spartans can give people problems, and Indiana, we'll see if Rourke plays. He did practice this week, their quarterback.
They say he's starting. Cignetti said he's starting.
Did he come out? Okay, he's been named the starter. So, you know, Indiana's done some real good stuff, most of it at home. Most of it at home.
Well, I'll start with Michigan first. Me not seeing a path for victory for them is because I don't see how they score. They don't have an offense. Michigan's offense is pathetic, and Oregon might be the best defense they've faced this year outside of Texas. Maybe they're better than Texas defensively. I don't really know. I think Oregon's a really good football team, and they can get you offensively by running the football or by passing the football. And Michigan has been a little susceptible the last couple of weeks to giving up yards on the ground, whereas early in the season they were not. So I think it's really tough to see a path for them to win. So I don't see one other than just complete self-implosion by Oregon. Like if Oregon starts throwing pick sixes and turning the ball over, then there's a path, I guess, but it would have to be complete self-destruction.
They're going to have to create some turnovers, win the turnover battle, which they hadn't done until last week. And they had done it, but last week was...
Well, it was a one turnover.
It was
quite costly because it happened at the end of the first half when it looked like they were going to go into Michigan State was going to go into halftime with a 7-6 lead. But that's not how it worked out. Michigan State against Indiana. Indiana has not played anybody yet on the schedule this year. They're 8-0, and I'm not taking that away from them. And I'm actually, you know, aside from this weekend, I'm kind of rooting for Indiana. I love the story. Brand new coach turns a program around, and this team believes in themselves. They win the game last week with a backup quarterback. And I don't see it, the adrenaline dump that you did. I know they were honoring some people last week and having game day and all that was fun for them. But I think the adrenaline dump happens if they played at home again. They're not. They're on the road. They know they go into hostile territory. And they know that they're taking on a Spartan team that's not happy about what happened at Michigan. I don't see Michigan State letting up. I think Michigan State's kind of galvanized this week that, okay, Michigan game's over with. We're pissed about it. We got an undefeated Indiana coming into town. We can get back to righting the ship here if they come out with a win and a good effort. But to do that, it's the same recipe each week. Don't turn the ball over, which is hard for Michigan State to do, and specifically it's the quarterback, Aiden Chiles. Please don't turn the ball over. Build off of some of the things you did. They abandoned some things against Michigan early. Early in the game, Michigan State was running the ball so effectively, and Aiden Chiles was also running the ball. I felt like in the second half, they went away from that, at least from Chiles' standpoint. He wasn't running the ball, and they tried to throw and they just didn't have time to throw. And if he doesn't have time to throw, then it becomes inaccurate. If they can stop a pass rush from Indiana and they keep them off balance because they're able to run the ball, which Michigan State has been able to run it for 2 weeks now, which is good news. State's got a really good chance of upsetting Indiana.
Yeah, I wonder. Michigan made some adjustments, I know, in talking to their staff against Michigan State. If Indiana sees anything there that they open the game with to try and put Childs in conflict that way. But, yeah, I think both teams have a path to victory. But it should be an interesting weekend. I wish that both games weren't at the same time, although I am excited for Penn State and Ohio State at noon. That one's interesting. Let's get back to your open line calls. We're going to Tim on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Tim.
Hey, how you guys doing? Love the show.
Thank you.
I didn't even want to call him, but I had to because this is the stupidest thing. I just left the lady's house. I do HVAC work. I just left the lady's house who couldn't understand for the life of her why her furnace would not run and she has no power to her house. And I had to explain this to her for 20 minutes, and I still don't think she understands.
So wait a second.
She's still more intelligent than the things coming out of Mike Tenenbaum's mouth. There's a reason he's not a GM anymore, and that right there is why. That will not get him a new job anytime soon. That's the dumbest thing. I can't. This is the stupidest thing I've heard in like at least 3 months from anybody on earth.
Oh, that's a strong statement because I don't know if you've been paying attention to what's going on in the country. But I will ask you a question, Tim. Have you ever been in the make them an offer they can't refuse camp?
No.
Okay.
We're just a little bit off right now. We're not like life changing away from the Super Bowl. Like we don't need to. I would love to get one of those guys, of course, but yep. Everybody knows we want those guys. Every team knows we want those guys. So they're going to ask us an arm and a leg. It's going to cost us too much in the long run. It sucks that Hutch went down, but we shouldn't panic and just go get somebody to try to fill Hutch's spot right now when nobody's going to fill Hutch's spot. Nobody's going to fill that guy's spot.
Tim, thank you for the phone call. Team. So wait, the woman had no power to the house and didn't understand why her furnace would...
She would not. She's like, my furnace runs off gas. I'm like, lady, I'm telling you. Your furnace needs power to start. Like, I don't know how to explain this to you. And I'm telling you that right there, I got in the car. I was like, oh my God, I just heard something stupid on the radio.
Tim, thanks.
That Mike Tenenbaum trade proposal is the reason why, like, your average fan thinks he could do that job. Because if he can come up with that, I can come up with crazy trade proposals.
Yeah, I can
too.
Stuff.
Yeah. I could do that.
Sure.
This is Madden, right?
Can I come up with a little bit less crazy? Yeah, then it must seem like it's more probable, and people will appreciate that. Two first-round picks, Jahmyr Gibbs in the second round. How's that? Mm-hmm. Did I get it done?
Let's go to Roy. You're next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Roy.
Good morning, guys. Happy All Saints Day, except for the New Orleans kind.
Is today All Saints Day? Is it day after Halloween? Is. Okay, thank you. All right.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I call it Reese Cup Hoarding Day, but that's another thing. in regards to trading, there's a reason there's no such word as favoriter. They're still the favorite in the NFC to go to the Super Bowl, if not to win the whole thing. Should they get somebody in regards to making your next man up, you know, whoever comes in to replace somebody, take a breath or whatever? Yes, but that entails a second tier or a really good young first tier that shows a lot of promise. Someone that's got fresh legs and big and, you know, just got quick feet or whatever. Cleveland Browns thing is not going to happen because, unfortunately, what the Browns need – we're not getting rid of. They need a quarterback. Goff's going nowhere. They need somebody that can hold on to the ball. St. Brown and everyone else is not going anywhere. As a Raiders fan who loves the Lions as well, that Eastern Michigan tie with Max Crosby, my team is going nowhere quick, and we can always get somebody else that can pass rush, not as good as Max Crosby, but we're about 14 players away from even having an offense in Las Vegas. So I think if they're going to dig in, and don't give away a Jahmyr Gibbs, you know, you have too many assets that you can bundle something that the Raiders need, a head coach. Oh, no, wait. No,
but the Raiders don't want to trade.
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
They don't want to trade Max Crosby. The owner says he said twice now that he's not trading Max Crosby.
Well, now they have somebody who has 7 Super Bowl championships that wants to make a lot of money just for that reason that has a new perspective.
Yeah, but he's a minority owner. It's still, you know, Mark Davis is still
the
guy.
He's referencing Tom Brady as part of the Raiders ownership now. If people don't know.
Yeah, he's gonna be in charge of drafting a quarterback, so that's not a minority owner. That's a minority financial stake. He's there for his mind, not for his money. So I really think Max Crosby can be taken this season.
So would you trade Max Crosby for 3 first-round picks, a second, and Jahmyr Gibbs?
I wouldn't trade Jahmyr Gibbs.
I'm talking about, would you do it if you were the Raiders? And you said you're a Raiders fan.
Right now, an extra value meal with fresh legs sounds good in Vegas. There's so many things they need that they would accept just about anything of quality.
All right, thank you.
I think the answer is yes, he would take
the reason this came up is because Mike Tannenbaum suggested to get Myles Garrett, Lions go 3 first, a second, and Jahmyr Gibbs. And I just...
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's not a statement of fact. What that is, they were asking, let's make some trade proposals. Is that what
it wasn't even called. That. It was, who says no? I don't think you understood the question.
What was the question?
Who says no? And then you come up with a trade proposal where both teams would agree to it.
That's what he came up with.
Everyone from the Lions side says no.
So you think that's an everybody wins? Look, all right, if you're trying to look at this as objectively as possible, if the Lions were to give up, and because this is talking really about this year, I think it's this year and next year. But if the Lions were to trade effectively Jahmyr Gibbs for Myles Garrett, and then you're giving up them picks, do the Lions have a better chance of winning the Super Bowl? I mean, you could argue yes, because they need help on the defense, not on the offense. But you would be discounting how good the offense is right now. Yep. You know, how much of a hit would the offense take? Could they absorb that hit? I think it's a ridiculous trade because you're attaching 3 first-round picks and a second-round pick in addition to Jahmyr Gibbs. And I don't think this is anything the Lions would be looking at.
I think almost all offer you can't refuse is start to walk into ridiculousness. But
yeah.
All right, 12:30, we go inside Allen Park with the Perch Kid. Got Are You Gonna Eat That? Coming up, picks at 140, 97.1 The Ticket.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.